This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
And we have got so much to get to this week. Big week in MLS, a big week in world soccer. Some of the darlings of Major League Soccer no longer in the playoffs. And we'll discuss how that makes us feel as crew fans. Maybe we feel good about it. Maybe we feel kind of crappy about it. Maybe I sound kind of crappy because I have this gunk going in the back of my throat.
It's that time of year.
It is.
That time of year.
Everybody's gunky. How have you been, Beam?
I'm good. I'm tired. I'm not going to lie to you.
Same.
Tired. I know you're running around doing basketball and you got three girls. I just have the one. But
no, but you know what? He's at the age that's tiring. Like, we're through. My youngest is five. So she can, like, self-entertain a little bit. Mm-hmm. Your guy is, like, feeding is a chore. Like getting him every, you have to change diapers still.
Oh,
like
yeah.
You're still doing
lots.
All that. Lots of diapers.
Let me tell you, the thing that they don't prepare you for when they're this age is just the amount of poop that comes out of their body.
Dude, I remember looking insane. At Melissa with the oldest one, with Viv, when she was that age and going, these are like adult size. What's going on?
Is everything okay in there?
Yeah.
Like what is going on?
There's no way to prepare you for what you're about to
experience.
I guess
their intestinal tract is just small, so maybe that's why it happens frequently
large. It does happen.
Like, oh, my God.
Well, and they're eating all fiber, like especially Daddy. He's eating a lot of veggies. He's eating a lot of like healthy food.
He's just eating everything.
Yeah.
And he's trying new things, which is really cool. Like the other day, I was having a Caesar salad. I made Caesars on Sunday, and then yesterday I turned around and had that for lunch.
Yeah.
And he's like, food, eat, hungy,
yeah.
eat. And I'm like, yeah, here's a piece of lettuce. And I'm like, I don't know if you've ever had lettuce before, but you can try this. And he puts it in his mouth and,
oh, he liked it.
Eat.
That's
more,
good.
More. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm eating this salad. You're eating what's in front of you, but I will share some of my salad with you. Turns out he loves salami. Like he hates meat. Like won't, he likes a fish. His sushi rolls is like his favorite thing in the world.
Wow.
So we go to Tensuke, which is right over on Henderson, for me, it's the best sushi in Columbus. I mean, if you've been to Akaihana before, it's their grocery store and they sell the sushi right there with it. So we try to go over there like probably once every other week, like once every 3 weeks, I pop in there and he is up to eating a full on straight salmon sushi roll.
Wow.
Like it's his favorite thing in the world too. Like he smokes these things.
Oh, does he really?
Meredith got back from Saturday. She went to the Ohio State game and we had some salami in the refrigerator and she's eating it and he's hungy.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know if you've ever had salami before, but here you go. Like, and he loved it. Like cured meats,
this
I guess is his new favorite.
This is
cured
great.
Meats and sushi. Charcuterie and raw fish. That's his favorite thing in the world.
He's going to be five and he's just going to be like, so anyway, this restaurant only has two Michelin stars.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess if you want to slum it, you can.
Yeah. But, so like all that, it's good. It's fun. Like it's a really, really fun age because his words are insane right
now. Well, hungy is such a good, I love it when the kids get the words, but they don't get all of it.
Right.
And so you have to be the decoder.
Correct.
For the rest of the world.
And nobody else knows what he's saying other than Meredith and I, because we're there every day with him. So like we understand, we get what you're saying.
That's a part of parenthood they don't tell you as well, is that like you essentially become a translator for your child for a period of time.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I didn't learn a foreign language. This is what we're working on. And I know where he's at, but you don't. And you've never heard these words, but I hear them all the time. So I can tell you what gets a response, what he's talking about. So, I mean, you are like essentially walking a tourist around the world.
Yes.
Your world where you live, you're taking this little tourist around and they're saying words and you're like, he wants your sushi right there. He loves salmon.
Yeah.
And it's just a hungy.
Hungy.
And you're like,
hungy sushi. Hungy
that means
sushi.
That means he wants your sushi.
Yeah.
That's right.
Like we have our good buddy Mike got him. He was in Mexico City a couple months ago. He's got this like jaguar call that he brought back, and it's like the ceramic whistle basically that like reenacts the sound of a jaguar, like when you blow into it. And it's very loud and it's ceramic and it can break easily. So like we don't put it down often for Willie to play with. But when we do, And even when we don't, he's just wah 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 wah. We're like, yes, jaguar, jaguar, jaguar. Like trying to get him into that. His for Halloween, we were out hanging out with neighbor Eric, and neighbor Eric's got a buddy named Peng. Okay. And so Peng was over and hanging out, and so Willie has met Peng a couple of times, and now he just says Peng randomly because he just likes it. We're like, before he goes to bed, he's looking out the window. I'm like, hey, what's out there, Peng? Peng,
aww.
Peng,
he's like, got a friend.
Peng's just hanging out on our sidewalk every night before bed.
Right. Yeah, Willie's a treasure right there, man. This is the fun time.
I'm like, working on our planets, Jupiter.
Oh wow, Jupiter? Got like Jupiter.
Yeah, I'm like
on.
Jupiter. Yes,
man.
Mercury, Mercury. Yeah, good job.
Look at that.
Yeah,
he's a sponge.
A gifted boy.
Yeah, there you go. Your gifted boy who's going to go play for probably Iowa.
We're taking our talents to Iowa. Develop an offensive lineman.
There you go.
He's fit. He's perfectly fit for that.
That's fantastic.
Maybe the school of dwarves and Lord of the Rings, like Gimli.
Good news, Kirk Ferentz will still be there in 16 years, whatever it is that he can get recruited. That's exactly right.
Yeah, but we're good. We're a little tired.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I can't imagine you guys
with three.
Like, no, but like they're all now it's like different. It's just different because now it's like, yeah, anyway, it's 10 o'clock at night and I need to talk. And so you're like, oh, okay. I was about to fall asleep, but now we got to talk about school drama for like half an hour. Or it's, can I get more time on this on my tablet? Can I get more time on this thing? I got it. And then it's running them everywhere because they're just in everything. So they want to go, which is good. But it's like Saturdays and Sundays, you're like, well, okay, this one's sleeping over here. This one's over there. This one's going here. Pick this one up, drop them here. That one gets picked up over here, drop them there. And then you're like, when do we eat? Like, when do we actually get food? That's the part I'm worried about. All right. So plenty to get into today with the world of the playoffs of Major League Soccer. If you didn't see it, I'm sure you did by now. Both FC Cincinnati and Inter Miami are bounced from the playoffs. You hate to see it.
Brad Guzan, MLS legend.
Let me tell you right now, that's a guy that old Lionel Messi's never really had to deal with. It's Brad Guzan. He is one of one with that guy. He's always the thing. Things I love about Brad Guzan. He's always adjusting his sleeves. Like, he's never
constantly.
Not. Always has the long sleeve, as most keepers do, the long sleeve kits on. He's always, like, doing his gloves. He's always adjusting those. He's always wincing and, like, making weird mouth gestures.
Like a Nomar Garcia Parra for, like, 90 straight minutes.
Yeah, and he's, right. And so then, he's always got weird facial expressions when he's yelling to where I can't tell if he's happy or sad or mad. But tell you what, he chested out a save. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
Point blank, guy's firing it right at him, and he just, boom, and, like, hits it with his chest, and is like, what are you going to do about that? Yeah, that's Brad Guzan. He's, like, 40, and he's still making it happen.
How old is he, actually?
No, he is 40. I'm not kidding you. I'm pretty sure he's 40-year-old goalkeeper. Okay. I believe he is 40. But he also, like, he does the thing, too, where he clacks his cleats onto the, like, the uprights of the goal.
Just turned 40 in September, yeah.
But he hits his cleats on the upright of the goal, and I'm like, dude, you play in a dome. What are you getting on there? You got some mud on there? You're playing on turf, buddy.
You got little rubber pellets in there?
But it's habit. It's just habit. Yeah. He does it, and I love it. It's great. But, yeah, he's, you know, Inter Miami, I love this. Jordi Alba came in after the game and said, I don't think this playoff thing is really that fair.
Don't worry. Don Garber will change it then if you don't think it's fair.
Well, you and FC Cincinnati. Hey, by the way, like, I just want to say, Crew fans, we all handle – did we not take our medicine on that?
Yeah.
We all saw what happened. We know about the Red Bull. That sucked. And then we ate the L and said, okay,
ate the L.
They won. That's how it goes. It's playoffs. That's why you can't be a team that has won in the playoffs, won championships in the playoffs, and then not necessarily been the best team that year record-wise, and then come back the next year when you had a better record and say, yeah, but these playoffs suck.
We have said constantly on this show for the last 2 years that the playoff format is dumb.
It is dumb.
But... These are the playoffs.
It's the format.
Yes.
Yeah. But, like, I think his complaint wasn't even that I don't like this three-game thing to start off, which I wonder what MLS will do with that, because don't most leagues always want their, like, eighth-place team, seventh-place team, the teams that are barely in the playoffs, don't they want them to feel like they have a chance?
Yeah.
That's why they always expand these playoffs. That's why we'll probably have at some point. That's why we have a play-in tournament game now for the NBA. Why
you have the play-in game for MLS.
MLS has it too, right? That's why you have an in-season tournament for, like, NBA and Major League Soccer do it. I'm sure the NHL will try something like that eventually, because it's like this just gives you more chances to say, oh, my team won something, mm-hmm. right? Which fans want.
And it's more inventory for them, so it's more dollars yeah. on the back end.
But the balance of that is then you have teams like Inter-Miami who get, you know, bounced in the first round, and I'm sure Major League Soccer and Apple were like, this is great. We're so happy for Atlanta United.
To Atlanta.
Right. They don't want that. They know that if Messi's not in this thing, there's not going to be as many eyeballs on it.
Which is so funny because 5 years ago, it was like, look at what Atlanta's doing. Look at them. Look at them. They're the darlings of the sport. And now 5 years gone, it's like, yeah, Atlanta, good job.
Don't you love how, see how I got you into this league?
I know.
We got you into this thing now. Because
yeah.
when this is the thing that I remember when Chicago came in the league in 98, because 96 is when the league started, and people were like, LA Galaxy, DC United, Chicago Fire, yeah. And you're just like, man, really? You're just going to kick all these teams to the curb because the Fire came in? And then, like, this happened with Toronto, Seattle, Real Salt Lake got this type of shine. People were real excited about them. Kyle Beckerman with his dreads. Like, this is – so when Atlanta United came in,
yeah.
and they're like, no, 50, you don't get 000, it. We're built different over here. It's
and
like,
I give them credit because they do – I mean, they continue to
– they do draw.
Have good numbers.
And they beat Inter-Miami, which is great. But what I'm saying is now they aren't the darlings.
Yeah.
Now they are the ones that it's like
– they're an MLS team now.
They had to win. And same thing. Like, I'm sure that MLS wasn't totally broken up, that a New York team – two New York teams are moving on, New York City and New York Red Bull – but New York City knocked out Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And Cincinnati, hey, FC Cincinnati fans, KFC fans, weren't you the darlings a few years ago? Don't you remember how that was?
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about you now. They care about Messi. So I'm
Lucho Acosta after the game basically saying, like, I'm done here.
Oh,
did you see
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Shocked everyone.
Oh, yeah. I think I played my last game here. I think I played well.
When did that happen?
Yeah, I already saw, like, Matthew Doyle, who's the armchair analyst for MLS, he had said something like, yeah, they're already working on replacements for him. And it's like, well, good luck. Like, same would be here. If Cucho up and said, hey, this is it for me, you can work on all the replacements you want. They're mm-hmm. they're just very tough to replace those type of guys. Yeah. Lucho Acosta is an amazing player that if he is truly done in MLS, that's a sad day for the league. It's a happy day for me as a Crew fan who gets to hold that over FC Cincinnati fans, but whatever. Like, I don't know if that's going to actually be the case. It sounds like it might be, though. And if that's real, that's bad for them, clearly.
Are you on the train of thought that you're super pumped to see the Miami and FC Cincinnati go down? Or are you on the other line of thinking it's like, man, if the Crew could have won this series, their path really opened up?
I am.
Because you and I talked about this yesterday before we recorded today.
I have my feet firmly planted on two trains that are going in, I'm hoping, the same direction, just they're on different tracks. Like, because I am very much, as a Crew fan, thinking, oh, what could have been? Yeah. Like, what could have been if you didn't have to go through those teams? But the reality, I guess, that I always come back to with that in my head is, yeah, but we couldn't beat the Red Bulls.
Yeah.
So what would it matter if, like, oh, well, then our path is easier. We couldn't beat the Red Bulls.
Yeah.
So I don't know that yes, to your point, I do think in my heart of hearts, boy, if we just figured out that series, you'd think they would have gained some momentum, they would have got it right, and they would have been better than most of these other teams they played on paper. On paper doesn't mean in reality,
well,
as
yeah,
we all found out ourselves.
Yeah, we saw what happened.
The other part of that is, since it is the reality that they are out, the last thing I wanted was for, like, Lionel Messi to just go on and get every, oh, yes, he's the player of the century in MLS. Like, oh, he won
MVP.
He
won the Lifetime Achievement Award.
I think it is, again, I don't think Major League Soccer and Don Garber agree because they're looking at their pocketbook. They're looking at how much money comes in. But I'll tell you right now, it is better for MLS in the long run if Lionel Messi doesn't ever win MLS Cup here. It's better because
explain
if he comes in, and I know he's going to get the MVP and he's going to get all this stuff, even
they're
though
going to the Club World Cup.
They got that right, which is great. You haven't even been in a domestic or regional final. You haven't been in one of those.
Well, didn't they win Leagues Cup last year?
That's a fake thing. Forget that even exists. Except when the Crew won it, that's very legitimate.
That's real. We'll take that trophy.
But like CONCACAF Champions Cup, they've never been to a final there. They've never been an MLS Cup final, let alone won it.
Right.
So that's who you're sending, and we know why, because
well, yeah, we get it.
FIFA wants to host the first game, and they will, in Miami. That's what's going to happen. They're going to have it at the Hard Rock, you know, stadium. So
it went well for that Argentina-Colombia Copa final this year.
Yeah. No way this could go bad, right? No way that, like, the security that was poor there could be poor again. Where you had players in the stands fighting fans.
I forgot about that
whole thing. That was good.
Well, that was Uruguay. Or was that game?
Was that Uruguay? I'm sorry. You're right. I was thinking of the. That's a different game. Maybe that wasn't.
I think the Copa final though was with it was Colombia and Argentina, and the fans were just like storming the keep.
Oh, that's okay. I was thinking of maybe that Uruguay thing didn't happen in Miami. I thought it did. I could be wrong. It may have. Well, whatever. Either way, the security was bad all the way around for those games. So hopefully they fix that for the FIFA Club World Cup. We'll see. All I know is this. The reality of Lionel Messi not playing in these games, if he comes in and wins everything, then it reinforces the idea that MLS is just a retirement league and a guy who is kind of, again, the greatest of all time, no doubt. But that guy is at the end of his playing career. He came in and just destroys your league. That pretty much says, oh, yeah, all your young, talented players, they're no better than the old guy who is still a legend and great. Mm-hmm. That doesn't reinforce the idea that the league is getting stronger. It would reinforce to the rest of the world that this league is still a weak, not good junior league, not a league to be taken seriously. And if you ever want MLS to grow, you need teams that are not Lionel Messi-based to have success. You needed the crew. The crew being as successful as they are, and I know I'm saying this as a crew fan, but let's take the crew out of it. If you put Real Salt Lake, I have no attachment to Real Salt Lake. Mm-hmm. They knocked the crew out of the playoffs many years ago, and I still hate them for it. But let's say they had this crew roster, but they were all in Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. If they had the last 2 years that the crew had, that is better for MLS internationally than if Lionel Messi is good.
Yeah, I get your point.
Because it reinforces the idea that some team that you've never heard of in a city you've never really thought about, they are good enough to win this league, even though Messi and all these stars are in this Miami team.
Olivier Giroud's out in L.A. And,
right, yeah. Yes. If a team that, I mean, again, if there are stars in this league, they need to be Cucho Hernandez as much as they need to be Lionel Messi's.
Yeah.
You need a guy who it's like, yeah, but this is a dude in his prime who could play in the Premier League, but he's playing here, and that team is winning. That is better than... We got Sergio Busquets and we got, you know, went out and got
Luis Suarez.
Bastian Schweinsteiger when they did that.
Bastian.
We never got his World Cup here. It's too bad. No. But, you know, like that's what I'm getting to is you need to actually have the teams that are going to be functional when there isn't a Lionel Messi. Because not every, I'm sorry, Neymar is not going to be the same guy even if he comes here. You think that's going to have the same pull around the world?
No.
No. And then after that, then who's next, right? Like 10 years from now, if it's Kylian Mbappe coming
Holland.
Here. Right, like you can't just rely on, well, when these guys get old and fed up with the Europe thing, or maybe we'll get them when they're 31 instead of 36, that's not likely, you know? And even if you do start getting them a little younger, that still means they're past their prime in Europe. Mm-hmm. You need to build the league around 23 to 26-year-old guys who could be playing in Europe who choose to play here. And if those teams that have most of those guys – if they're the ones that are successful, that ultimately will... And then those guys, I hate to say it, some of them have to go to Europe. Aiden Morris going to Europe mm-hmm. is a good thing for the league, not for me as a crew fan,
right.
But for the league.
Yeah, we could have used them against New York, for sure.
No, kidding. But him being in England and doing well signifies, hey, there are good players, homegrown players from these teams that you could actually have come play in Europe. It's not all about that for me as a crew fan. For me as a crew fan, I want my team to win. So if my team gets Lionel Messi tomorrow, I'm thrilled. Right? Right? You know that. If he, I'm saying that for Real Salt Lake or Kansas City or name your team. If they get...
We get Paul Pogba, I'm in.
Yeah, if he helps you win. I mean, I'm trying to separate my greediness as a crew fan and what I want to win versus what's actually good for the league. And I don't think...
Well, the good news is that we'll never be put in a situation like that. So we'll never find out.
But Lionel Messi is good for the immediate monetary success of MLS.
Yeah, but who's benefiting off of that? Not me.
That's what I'm saying. It's good for the league sponsors. It's good for the corporate partners. It's good for all those people in the C-suite. It's not good for the average fan that you need to capture from Europe who may decide, and around the world is what we really are trying to say. You want them to watch the league and not just go, oh, Messi's not playing? I'm not watching.
Yeah, random Saturday night, you want them to turn on like Columbus and Philadelphia.
Yeah. Actually, by the way,
wow, look at this.
You also want American soccer fans to do that too, because we have talked about how you and I struggle with watching, like, I'm going to probably not watch any of these playoffs. The only thing I was probably watching for was to see Messi lose. So, I mean, I'll probably tune into MLS Cup final just to see what happens in it. Maybe the conference finals, I'll give a look depending on what the matchups are. But I am a, like, day one Crew fan. You are a hardcore soccer fan. And both of us struggle to watch this league. So, yeah, forget even Europe on that argument. You need to prove to American soccer fans that this is worth their time. And if it's only based around Lionel Messi playing or David Beckham playing, well, then that's not a league. That's a guy.
Well, and then they put that on themselves, too, because if their whole idea is that when you sign Messi from PSG he came over, it was like, Messi, look at them. And now they're out.
Yeah.
What's your strategy to get everybody then who you sold that idea to, that then why watching Atlanta against New York will be, why should I watch that game then?
It is the age-old argument, right? Like, people yell at Major League Baseball because they don't market their stars enough. But the other side of that is Major League Baseball not marketing their star, which, like, Shohei Ohtani changed the game this year, right? Mm-hmm. But what really changed the game for them was because it was the Dodgers and Yankees.
Yeah.
Right? Like, those two franchises being good, because those are also teams that people say, well, the Dodgers are playing, I'm going to go check that out. The Yankees are playing, I know they're always good, I'm going to check them out, even though they haven't been that good. They haven't won a World Series in a while for them. But the point being, you need identifiable brands. And if your identifiable brands are all people and no teams, that's bad.
That's a good point.
So I feel like you need a brand that is strong in Seattle, Columbus, New York. You need these brands to be strong, so then people go, I need to check out the Crew. I need to check out, because I know they have good teams. They have a good coach. They're always really interesting. And that's where MLS struggles right now. So the way they've decided to shortcut that is by getting Lionel Messi to come in. And they go, see, there you go. That's interesting. Watch the pink team. They're the interesting team. And that's
the logo. That's the brand. They're also called Inter. Don't get them confused.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, don't get them confused with Inter Milan. Yes. That, I know it's very tough to confuse the two.
Where do you rank them all time in Miami?
God, I saw that article. This stupid article.
It's a little behind-the-scenes look at how we do our podcast.
Yeah.
The morning of, usually, I will search around and look for some stories. I mean, we already know like 80% of what we're going to do on the show, but, you know, I like to send out articles and things that I find interesting to Mr. T-Bone over here. And so I was perusing, was it an ESPN article? ESPN article. And I clicked on it, and I don't remember exactly what I said to you, like, in the email when I said something along the lines of, like, here you go, like, enjoy this. And it was ranking the greatest, like, MLS teams of all time.
Yeah.
And now Inter Miami is not on this list, but I thought it was patently ridiculous that we were even having this question. Like, why is this even a question?
Here you go. Like, just so you know, understand why this is so egregious. Number one, they put Toronto FC 2017.
Treble winners, right?
Nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. They are one of the greatest.
They won the Canadian Open?
They did, yeah. They won MLS Cup. They won the Open Cup that year, too. No, they won. That's right. They play in the Canadian Cup.
Yeah.
And then what else did they win? Oh, Supporters Shield. Yeah. Like,
that's as successful as a... Yeah. 1 year run as you can have.
About as good as you can do without winning the CONCACAF Champions Cup / Champions League. In 98, they put DC United in here, who I believe won MLS Cup, but I believe also went and won the... Actually, I guess they appeared in MLS Cup, but they are the ones who won the CONCACAF Champions League. All right. Very few teams have done that. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's the caliber of team we're talking about. This Inter Miami team... didn't do any of that.
Hasn't been in the domestic leagues cup, which has been around for 2 years.
Yeah, I'm sorry. They don't. The LAFC team in 2022 is another one. It's like, yes, these all make sense for like greatest team in MLS history. I'm not mad the Crew aren't on this list. That's fine if they don't want to put us in there. But Inter Miami has no claim to this.
No.
Like, you had a Crew team in 2008 and 2009 that won the 2008 won Supporters Shield and MLS Cup. They're not even mentioned.
Yeah.
2009, they won Supporters Shield for the second year in a row. So, like, you could talk about that run. You could talk about any of that. I understand why they didn't put them in there. I'm just pointing out, Inter Miami has a lot of great names. They didn't do jack squat.
They didn't do anything.
There's no way you can't put them in anywhere close to a top 10 greatest teams in MLS history because they didn't get the job done.
I haven't even been watching MLS nearly as long as you have, and I was offended by it.
No, I will tell you, like, compared to the level of competition, and I understand Messi, when he was healthy, dominated this league. Totally understand. But also, he wasn't healthy all year.
Yeah.
He missed a lot of time. And that, I'm sorry that that happened to all the people who want to put this team as the greatest team ever. When they were all healthy, they were really good. And last I checked, they were all pretty healthy when they lost in three games to Atlanta. So,
but we didn't like the playoff format.
Don't like the playoff. We can't have that.
Brad Guzan, you're going to be executed. Sorry.
You're like, Messi. Lionel, where do you want him to stand?
Yeah.
We're just move him over. Yeah. So here's what I don't understand.
Brad, we got to take you out of the league. We're sorry.
By the way, Jordi Alba's solution was we should just have the Eastern Conference winner and the Western Conference winner play each other and call that MLS Cup, and then that's how you settle the winner. And it's like, yeah, they're not going to do that for the same reason that Lionel Messi's on your team.
Yeah.
It's because Apple wants more games.
Right.
All these TV partners want lots of playoff games to justify
the
contract.
Do you think they change the format next year?
I don't know. Well, here's the thing. It's why is Lionel Messi here in the first place? Not to be Brian Windhorst. Like, why is he here?
He's here to win trophies.
He is. That is his goal. But why is he getting a share of league revenue to be here? It's because all the owners want to make money off of him.
Yeah.
Because they know if he comes and plays in their stadium, they will sell it out. They can make probably close to double-digit millions.
That's why the Crew are going to play in the Browns Stadium next year when they play Miami.
Absolutely right. And you have a lot of 60,000-seat stadiums now. Like, Atlanta probably is 50 or 60,000. I know Miami, they'll obviously put it in Hard Rock. They have some of those games are there. And then you have plenty of these teams that are playing.
Arrowhead did it.
Yeah, Seattle. Seattle plays
Chicago's
in a big place.
Played sometimes in Soldier.
They have played in Soldier Field. They're trying to get a new stadium built so they don't have to do that. But they would. Remember, they had that game and then Messi didn't play.
Yeah.
But, like, the point is, they're all doing that because the owners want that. The owners want that revenue. The owners want the revenue from home playoff games.
Yeah.
So that's why. It's kind of like if Messi and Miami don't like it, or if South Florida doesn't like it, that's going to go up against all the rest of the league. And I could see other owners being like, I'm not giving up my home playoff game for that. No, I don't care that they don't like it.
Sorry about your luck.
Yeah, sorry you didn't win. So I think that's where it's headed. I think it probably stays in this format, or if it changes, it'll be something that changes because the owners want to see it, not because Jordi Alba or whoever doesn't want to see it. So, yeah. Also, FC Cincinnati lost. Whatever. Old news. You didn't win anything this year. Shut up. You didn't win anything. You didn't win Leagues Cup.
Congrats on Supporter Shield last year.
Yeah, congrats on your Supporter Shield. I'm sure you'll be able to enjoy that for a few more years. Mm-hmm. That's great. We'll take a break when we come back. Some issues for a Premier League ref. That's next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
It defies description. Now back to Bone and Beam United.
As always, you can tweet the program at Bone Beam United. Again, sorry for my phlegmy voice today. I don't know.
It sounds good.
Yeah, I guess.
As long as you're not feeling bad, that's all that matters.
No, I don't feel bad. It's just I'm trying to manage it. The drainage is happening. I'm trying to just make sure I'm not just...
Yeah, the drainage is no fun.
Never is. All right, so Premier League referee David... How do we say his last name?
I don't know.
C-O-O-T-E. I'm going to say it's Cootie. David Cootie.
Yeah, the Cootmeister.
Sure. He has been suspended pending a full investigation after a video circulated on social media that appeared to show him making disparaging remarks about Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp, obviously their former manager. So clip number one is like a minute 20.
The scene in this looks like both nice lads have had a rather long evening out.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is sometime in the late hours of the evening or perhaps early morning hours.
Could be.
They're on a couch, and it seems like...
In someone's apartment, it looks like.
In someone's apartment, just hanging out, and this fella's recording him. Like, not like... Unbeknownst to him.
No.
I mean, the camera's right in front of his face.
They're talking to the camera.
Yeah.
And it's a guy who we don't know, and this David Cootie, who is apparently, or Coot, or however you say it, he is a referee in the Premier League. And so they're asking, like, what do you think of Liverpool? And he just starts going off. And he calls Jurgen Klopp the C word multiple times. And again, I know in Britain they're much more comfortable with that than we are here.
No, they're not. They're not really.
No. I'm saying, like, it's a word, like, Britain and Australia have gotten way more comfortable with that than I think I ever will.
Yeah.
But that doesn't excuse it away. He is a Premier League ref talking negatively about Jurgen Klopp. And let's take the C word thing out of it. He's, which is hard to do, but let's just do that. he is saying, like, this guy's an arrogant jerk. I don't like him. I never liked him. I never liked talking with him. I would always talk to James Milner. I'd talk with him all day, but I don't want to talk to Klopp. And then he goes on to say, we don't like Scousers, don't like Liverpool, like, just very much like, I don't like these dudes at all.
Feels like the rest of the country, probably.
Sure, but that's where they are. And then there's a second video that is also on this Twitter.
I didn't watch the second video. I just saw the first one.
The second video, they basically are like, hey, FYI, guys, he is a real Premier League ref. Let's not this. And you hear him going like, this video cannot go anywhere.
Oh boy.
This video cannot get out. And the other guy's like, yeah, guys, this cannot get out anywhere. Don't let anyone see this. We don't want to ruin this bloke's career. Like, it boggles the mind.
If you're
like,
him, aren't you like, just why? You're not videotaping me.
Right. I the only thing I can think of is this was somehow like live, like a Facebook live to someone that they trusted, or some kind of, you know, WhatsApp or voice message, like FaceTime, yeah, something that they were doing that was to someone they trusted, who they were like, hey, FYI, you cannot let this video go out. But you don't ever hear a person responding, right? It very much has the energy of a selfie video.
Like a cameo, almost.
Yeah, it definitely does not. I mean, maybe that's it, too. I don't know. Maybe, like, that would actually explain something if they were like, we got a cameo here for $100 to say some crap about Liverpool. Maybe that would make sense. Yeah. But either way, this Twitter, and it's unclear when this video was taken. I don't know if it was just
this past week. It makes some reference to him doing like video assistant refereeing in the 2024 Euro final.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's between sometime
this summer and now.
Yeah, summer between November 11th, I think, is when the video actually came out. So, I mean, it's 5 months at the oldest.
Yeah, it's all right. So this guy is now under investigation.
As he should be.
But if they verify that this is really him, and I mean, it's his, listen.
It's him. Allegedly.
What I'm saying is I'm not intimately familiar with what this person actually looks like. I've never watched. I don't recall seeing him ever ref a game because I don't pay attention to the refs that much. But the people who do would instantly. It's so crystal clear. It's not grainy. It's not like it's him off to the side and some guy is
caught
just
in 4K.
No, this is him recording himself direct to camera saying this stuff and then going, please don't let this get out there. If this is verified to be him, he's done as a Premier League ref, a high-level referee. Like, you can never ref a Premier League game again because you basically said, I hate this one team.
He can join pro refs and come over here, though.
Oh, that yeah, sure. That's what we need. Another guy with poor judgment making calls in MLS games. That is really, to me, the biggest crime of this whole thing is, like, you're a referee. It's like at the NFL Combine where they did the drug testing for years to see, like, if you'd pop for marijuana. Not because they're really concerned if you do that. It's more about, didn't you know this was coming? We tell you that we're going to drug test
you. On the day.
Use judgment beforehand to say, I'm not going to do any drugs until I get to the Combine and take that test.
Then
fine.
I'll go wild.
Right.
Go buck crazy.
That's, to me, this is just a clear example of, you thought it was a good idea to put this out there in the world on video and then tell someone, please don't ever share it, and you thought that would work. Your judgment is in question. As a referee, that's kind of the gig, is having good judgment. So,
you want to have your own thoughts? Like, you're more than welcome to say those in your own head or to your spouse, to your boyfriend, to your girlfriend, husband, mother, brother, sister, your inner trusted circle.
Maybe not all those people at once on a video. But
no, exactly.
But like, if one of them that you really trust, you're like, I'm just venting. Sure, that's fine. But yeah, you can't.
Yeah, he's fired, guy.
Fired. 100%. But you know what, though? Again, I don't want guys like that reffing. If you're that stupid that you think that's a good idea.
Yeah, but I'm guessing they're all like that. They're all humans. Other humans.
I don't mean that. You're right. There are plenty of guys who have bias. I am sure there are referees who are like, oh, this effing guy, here we go. Like when they go ref a certain game. Happens in, I'm sure there's Major League Baseball has umpires that do that. NBA has refs that do that. Every sport has it.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to put that aside and go, all right, but today I don't like this guy, but if the call goes in his favor, I got to make the right call. Honestly, I feel like probably what happens more is it's the opposite. It's someone who has their internal bias and they know it, and so they're openly trying to suppress it, and that leads them to be biased the other way.
Yes.
Like, because
right.
they're like,
for them.
They're like, oh, this is an iffy call. I hate this guy.
I have to make the call.
And yeah. I kind of feel like I have to go with this because my gut instinct is to go against this person. So I'm going to Uno card reverse myself and try to fix it. And then you end up making possibly the wrong call because of that. So I know that goes on all the time. But it's something that you can have plausible deniability to and say, no, I came out here and tried to do the best job I could.
Yeah.
Right? This is different when a guy comes out and says, I hate this team. Period. End of story. Well,
Story's written on you, sir.
What are you going to do if there's like a huge penalty call in a Liverpool game? This guy's reffing it and he just doesn't blow the whistle and Liverpool's the one getting hit.
That's what we got VAR for.
Yeah, but if this guy's working VAR, it's like, nothing. It will no longer be these refs are stupid, which is part of the game, and you just have to deal with it. Yeah. It's this guy hates this team. We already jumped to that conclusion. People do that all the time with refs. They're always like, this guy's from Michigan, and he's reffing the Michigan game. Yeah, oh, he's probably biased from Michigan, or he's from Ohio. He's, you know, you can't.
His mom graduated from Ohio State.
They find out these people's entire lives and try to look for bias. You tell me this wouldn't come up?
Sergei Boyko's an FC Cincinnati fan.
That guy was just a bad referee. Just bad at his job.
What do you mean was? He's still out there.
Still is. Still is bad. You're right. So, yeah, I don't feel bad for this dude at all. He shouldn't be reffing, and,
I don't think he will be. I don't think you're going to have to worry about him. I wasn't worried about him.
No.
And then I saw this video, and I'm like, well, I won't have to be worried about him, even though I wasn't worried about him before, because he will be fired.
That is kind of the best way to become aware of a scandal, in my mind, is to be like, I didn't know who this person was. Then I found out they did something bad, and now they're probably never going to be in my line of sight again when it comes to that. That's perfect. That's
nature
like
versus nurture, Oz. Nature always wins.
Yeah, that's right. It's perfect. But there's a guy at Florida Gators, their head basketball coach, that just had a thing come
up.
It's like
Golden.
I didn't even know about this guy, and then they're like, oh, he was kind of like sending weird messages on Instagram and being kind of
stalker-y.
A creepo. And it's like, if that guy gets fired, it's like, well, I didn't even know he was doing that, and then I find out he's doing that. Go away.
Tim told me about that on Saturday when we were getting ready to do like Buckeye post game. He's like, did you catch what's going on with the Florida coach? I'm like, I couldn't even tell you who the Florida basketball coach is. He's like, read about it. I'm like, well, you just tell me about it, and then I can decipher my opinion off of what you have to say.
Yeah. Well, he coached the other day. Coached last night.
Saw that.
Got a standing ovation.
Now I'm aware of him, and now I want him to get fired.
Right. But that's what I'm saying is this guy where it's like, you just instantly know about it, and then like, oh, yeah, he's probably done. And you're like, great. I don't have to send a letter. I don't have to complain to anyone. We don't have to get this guy out. It's like, there's no organized anything. It's just, it's already done. He's gone. I like stories like that where it's like, I didn't like this guy. He's already gone. Great. Good to know. Real Madrid.
Yeah, how are your guys doing?
They are struggling.
Yes, they are.
They are struggling mightily. And apparently so is Kylian Mbappe. Mm. This is according to Forbes magazine, which
I think it came from, they ripped it off of another magazine.
Tom Sanderson is a senior contributor to Forbes, and he is based in Barcelona, and he writes about Spanish soccer.
Okay.
But the headline says Real Madrid star Mbappe devastated emotionally and has a psychological problem. Mm. Because obviously it has not been going well there. He has not been going well. So they said this is affecting his form, according to L'Equipe, which is the Spanish publication. Right. Yeah, they're the ones who started
French.
This. Yeah.
That's the French publication.
Yeah. So they're saying that because he is kind of not in his preferred spot. He'd like to be out on the left wing.
Yes, and we had talked about this when he moved to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
So let's go back before we move forward with Kylian Mbappe.
Yeah.
So the whole drama over the last couple of seasons, PSG wants to sign him to a contract extension. That way they could get paid something for his dollar amount, right? Like the transfer fee for Real Madrid. Real Madrid said, okay, good luck with that. If you want to sign him to a contract extension, that's fine. We will still purchase him. But that's up to you and Kylian, or we're going to wait you out and we're going to sign him on a free transfer. Kylian Mbappe and PSG were unable to get the transfer or the contract done. His contract ran up. Real Madrid signed him for free. So already, this is just from a Kylian Mbappe standpoint, all right? This is just from an Mbappe standpoint, which we'll get to in a second. Already, you have spurned one fan base because you left PSG in a place, and nobody feels bad for them, I mean, right? I mean, billionaire owners, you're going to be able to be just fine. But the premise of that, like, I'm leaving Paris on a free to go to Real Madrid. Like, if PSG wants to do anything, and we know their history of crashing out of Champions League has always been very dramatic. And when they had Messi and Neymar and Mbappe for that 1 year. Like, they thought that was it, and they can never get past the hump. They can't get over it. It's like Kylian. If there's one person that, you know, knows what it takes to be a Parisian, to be a Frenchman, right?
Right.
I mean, that you are going to be the guy, help us out a little bit. And he was unwilling to do that. So that's one fan base burned. That's a whole country, really. It's saying you're leaving us and you're going to Spain.
Yep.
They don't have the best of relations if you go back and look at the history of those two countries.
Sure.
So they already right there, like, that's one thing. Like, his move to Real Madrid was already going to be a part of the question. All right, you go to Real Madrid. The guy who just came second in the Ballon d'Or, Vinny, who you're a massive fan of,
Vinicius Jr.,
plays on the left side. That's his spot. Like, he is not a striker. He is not a number nine.
No.
He is a left winger, and he is the best when he is running through the left side of that offense. He has proven it. He's done it at Real Madrid. He's been there at Real Madrid, and he's been spectacular in his time there. So Kylian Mbappe comes over, and Carlo Ancelotti, who's the manager of Real Madrid, says, okay, Kylian, we're going to play you in the middle. Like, I thought Kylian Mbappe would have been fine with that move. Like, you know what? That's Vinny's spot. Anything for me to help the team, I'll play in the number nine. I'll just play centrally. He can play on the left. Maybe if we want to do some overlaps and some interlays, like Vinny cuts inside, I'll come to the outside, whatever. Like, your professionals make it work. So didn't agree to do that. Now there's open competition. Vinny is better than Kylian Mbappe at the left wing at the minute. I mean, we know form is a fickle thing, and on his day, Kylian Mbappe is probably the best player on planet Earth when he is in that sort of form.
Right.
So he's got that he's going through in Spain. You've already kind of spurned what you did over the summer by joining Real Madrid from PSG. And oh yeah, by the way, you're the captain of the French team who crashed out of Euros in a pretty spectacular way. You did that, and you're the captain of that team. And now in the last two selections in international windows, Didier Deschamps has said, we're not going to pick you. Like, we're not, we're not going to pick you up. You're coming off an injury. And honestly, I think Didier Deschamps is trying to protect Kylian Mbappe as much as he can. Like,
I think so too.
You're not in good form. You're not having a good time at Real Madrid. You're coming over here. We don't want you to be in front of the media. Like, you need to take a break, sit down, relax a little bit, recharge. I know you're out there, you're playing FIFA with Hakimi. Like, I just saw that on social media. Like, that's what you need to be doing.
Yeah.
That's what you need to be doing. Instead of, like, getting in front of a microphone and playing, and then if you had a couple of bad games for us as the captain, what does that mean moving forward? Yada, 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 whatever. So, early returns on investment so far have been very poor.
Yeah.
Very, very bad for
me. Right, yeah. Oh, for sure. And then you had, on top of it, so they dropped a couple games in a row.
They got hammered by Barca 4-0.
Yeah, and then they got... They also lost to AC Milan in the Champions League, which, again, who knows what that means, but it's not going well for them right now. In that game, he didn't score. He has not scored. He has had a bad run of form. But when they got back to league play, they played Osasuna and smoked them 4-0. And Vinicius had a hat trick.
Naturally.
And Kylian Mbappe didn't score at all. So I empathize with him a little bit. In the sense that, you know, I've never felt this way, but I'm not Kylian Mbappe. Probably most people can't relate to it this way. I've never felt like I'm the best in the world at what I do. Mm-hmm. But if I did, if people told me I was, I'd probably believe them, you know, eventually. Like, if, like, the amount of people who told Kylian Mbappe.
Well, he's also out there doing it.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is, like, you can be a really great soccer player and believe you're pretty good or maybe you think you're the best, but you have millions of people, you have dozens of articles telling you you're the best player in the world, you have an award that says you're the best player in the world, and then you show up to a new place, and the guy who's already there is like, you know, the manager is like, I like the guy who we already have in your position. You can move over and play over here. Now, he's playing soccer. He's playing at a forward position. It's not like they're putting him in goal, you know, and making him put on gloves.
Not dropping him back into left back.
No, like, he's moving over a few feet from where he would prefer to. I get why that seems prima donna-ish. But again, if everyone has told you you're the best at this, and then there's another guy who has a legitimate claim to that same argument, and your new club says we side with him, even if that makes the most logical sense to everyone who would analyze it from
which it does
X's and O's standpoint, and from a, because it's like, right, this guy's been here doing it. He seems to flourish in this spot. Why would we upset that to put this other guy in there in that spot? But again, it's Kylian Mbappe. I don't blame him at all for being a little frustrated that, like...
Yes, But let me counter.
And he's not scoring. So then it's like, yeah,
he's got
eight goals
in 16 games. It's not like he's not doing anything.
Okay, he hasn't scored to the clip that he thinks he should.
He scored 44 last year.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's a little different.
But here's the counter argument to that. It's Real Madrid, and they have always done this.
Yes.
And this is why they are so successful. Like, if you wanted to come here and be a part of this.
Oh, yeah.
It was in the brochure.
Yeah,
like, this was all in the catalog.
You're right. Oh, you and I both know, right? Like, if I don't even know what the equivalent would be for us, because we're obviously, neither of us are, no offense, we're not Kylian Mbappe. We know that.
How dare you?
But, like, we both have been in our careers a while. We think we do a decent job at what we do. We try very hard to be as good as we can. If ESPN called us and said, come on over to ESPN, and we got there and they were like, actually, we need you to, like, run video back. Like, you're going to be a video editor. And you're not even doing, you know, like, I totally understand that frustration of, but again, it's like, but that's the, you get to work for the worldwide leader. I know it's a little apples to oranges. I'm not trying to defend him. Obviously, I think you have to fit in, you know.
You have to fit into what Real Madrid does. Real Madrid is not acquiescing to anybody in the world.
They're one of the, they may be the only club in the world that you could actually say, yeah, it actually makes sense that they, because they've won so much.
Yeah.
They've done this with, how many generations of players that they looked at?
How many Champions Leagues are they up to? Like 16?
Yeah.
15?
I think it's more than that. And they've stared at guys who are like the best in the world and been like, yeah, but you're not playing today because we've got all these other dudes who they work better in this system that we're running. And it's guys who all had big moments at other clubs who come there and you just see them become like part of the machinery. And that's, to me, I think that is incredible to watch, right? Where you get a guy who is like the star. I mean, it happens at all levels, right? College football, you have star high school player comes to college football and barely plays. Like, but again, we're talking about a guy who's won the award for like the best player in the world.
He's won a World Cup. Like,
he's won a World Cup. He's captain. Was he captain that team or is he captain
now?
He wasn't the
captain.
Now he's captain. Okay. But still.
Had the epic fight against Messi in that World Cup final a couple of years ago.
That's right.
Like,
yeah, right. I mean, this is an all-time player.
Guy who's been at the highest of highs that you can achieve in the sport.
Yeah. But now he's on a team with a bunch of guys.
Like, done that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's something to see like a Luka Modric walking. You know, there's never going to be a Real Madrid story where I don't bring in Luka Modric. But like, he's going to walk around the locker room and just be like, hey, what's up, Kylian? How are you? Like, it's not like, oh, my God, I can't believe you're here. Luka Modric is like, yeah, of course you're here. I'm here. I'm good. I've been awesome. Like, you know, all the dudes
who
walk around,
resume?
They're all like, yeah, we all belong here because we're all freaking studs. And you're one of us now. You belong here, but you're not above any of us. Mm-hmm. You're not like, no one's laying down for you in that locker room. They're all going to want you to build up what they're doing, not become a cause of frustration. So when they're saying he has psychological problems, I'm sure they just mean like he's probably just a little mentally frustrated.
It would be jarring.
It's not going the way he wanted it to. It's not his preferred way of playing. But this is the true test, right? You find out how good you are when you can adjust to that. And
let's put a pin in this and revisit this exact situation in like February or March.
Agreed.
There's 6 points back in La Liga. Now, Barcelona look awesome. That's a whole different thing to worry about because every one of their killers is like 19 or 20 years old. You're looking at, by the way, I was at a Kroger doing an appearance last week up in Lewis Center.
I know.
Plain City,
Lewis
Center.
I was
up there. I saw a Lamine Yamal jersey. I'm that's amazing.
This kid is, he is taking over.
Yeah.
Like
we are in center of the state, Ohio, and I'm seeing, I can't love that anymore.
It's going to be so fun when Real Madrid gets him and just takes him right out of Barcelona.
No, they won't do that.
If there's anybody they may never be able to get to, it's the Barcelona stars. You just can't ever touch them.
No, you can't have them.
Of course not.
But yeah, like they're looking at what's going on in the club at Real, and then they're looking at Barcelona saying, uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's a bit troubling.
That's real. And you know what? That's a stark difference because the thing with Real Madrid was they can't – not with Real Madrid. With Barcelona is they can't go out and spend the money the way they used to.
We'll just
grow all these guys right out of the ground and bring them over.
Ever heard of the Mestalla? Well, you're going to get to learn that, buddy.
My God, yeah. They're very talented. They're very good. So you're right, though. Let's revisit in a few months. Let's get through the holidays, come back in January and see. And if Real Madrid's still like 6 points adrift, then you got a story there.
If Kylian has 20 goals by that time, that wouldn't shock me either.
Wouldn't at all. All right. Anything else you want to get to today?
No, I think that's about it. All Shout out to my guy, Ruud van Nistelrooy. Did a good job as the interim manager.
Yeah. And now, what's his name?
Ruben Amorim.
Amorim is back.
It's A-M-O-R-I-M, Portuguese. It's Amorim. A soft N at the end. Amorim.
Amorim. Amorim. Okay. Well, we welcome for Manchester United fans the new era. We'll see what they do.
It will be the same exact results as the last era.
Your optimism is infectious, my friend.
Yes, it is.
As always. All right, tell Big Willie style I said hi, and we
I'll tell Danny Dyer you said hey. Did you like that before
that
we get out of here?
Photo
did you like
was
that?
Great. I loved it.
It was
I'm
the
so
first
glad.
Thing that popped into my mind, and I'm like, we're like going down the street getting ready for a West Ham game.
Yeah,
he's just got his hood up.
He had his hood up, and he just looked like he was at all.
And in
ultimate,
his like little pocket,
ultimate rough lad.
He did
out there ready to go. And my wife, I showed that to her, and she's like, "What does this mean?" I'm like, "You know what? Don't
you
worry
wouldn't
about
get
it.
It.
It's okay. Yeah. It's all right." But if you don't know Danny Dyer, look up Real Football Factories, and yeah, Beam and I love that guy. We just love the accent. We love the way he walks. The whole package. It's hilarious. All right, we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to Bone and Beam United.